We had homework last week. Do you remember from our study last week, Max Licato, what was the phrase that he used for fear? Get away, I think what it was. That was the phrase that we use. Yep. Get away for fear. But for anxiety, we ask the question, what if? What if? We ask a whole bunch of those what if questions. So the homework from last week was to sit down and on an envelope, go ahead and write some of those what ifs. So is anyone willing to share what you wrote down? Or you could say, man, the dog ate my homework. I don't know. What are those what if questions that really, you know, eat at you? I'll start. I always like to just make a, you know, I'll just throw it out there. What for me, it's what if church doesn't go well? So questions like the technology falls through. We have great people that help out. Oscar and Jonathan are just super awesome. But boy, I think about that often. What if it doesn't work? Or what if somebody doesn't show up? Those are questions that I oftentimes ask myself. And what I've discovered is often when I ask those questions, it does get covered in some way and the church survives and it goes on. And if on a particular Sunday it doesn't happen, God's word is still shared. It's just that what if question eats up so much of my time as a follower of Jesus. Anybody else want to share what ifs that kind of eat you up?
We're a talkative bunch this morning.
Yeah.
This is very much like high school Zooming. Yeah. You ask a question and the screens go off.
Yeah. Yep. Well, do be thinking of the homework I give you, because I'm doing the homework. I want you to do the homework too. So that's a part of our spiritual growth. So
I will share if you would like.
Yes, I would love that. Please.
Mine are pretty heavy. I have anxiety. I want to just put it out there. And there's so my son, for Carol, I was thinking of you. My son has been struggling with some mental health issues. And my big what if was, what if he doesn't want to get help? And what if it leads to something worse, like suicide or something? And then what if I can't be there for my mom? She dies. So those are heavy. By the way, I want to let you guys know we had some things going at you, but my mom is officially on hospice as of this morning.
Okay. Yeah. Man, thanks for opening up your heart and sharing. Again, anxiety is not, we talked about how obviously the numbers for anxiety have shot up, but anxiety is something that every person has. Every person asks these what if questions. Not a sin. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is not a sin either. So, right? Great. Thanks for sharing. All right, we're going to open up with today our focus is let your gentleness be known to all. Let your gentleness be known to all. This also comes from Philippians chapter 4. And just to get us thinking, we're going to share screen here. Can everyone see that?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so when we talk about this gentleness word, so another word, a couple words that are related to that gentleness. What is gentleness? We're thinking calm. We're thinking mature. In the Greek, that word relates to kind of the idea of maturity, that we're not just acting quickly, but we're gentle. We're thinking things through. So what challenge is testing your gentleness right now? What strategies have you used to stay calm during this challenge? Have they worked? So gentleness. What is testing your gentleness?
Well, you know, for me, I'm kind of an anxious person too, but I think as I've grown older, it has gone away somewhat. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And I when you said gentleness kind of indicates maturity, that was an interesting concept to me. I never thought about it in that way, but. And well, maybe that has happened because as I've got older, I have been able to be more calm, more gentle in a way, I guess. But when I was younger, I was definitely not.
Yeah. So. Jan, gentleness, what do you got?
I think Lindy has gotten it right, at least for me also. It's hard. It's actually hard for me to say I am anxious because as I've gotten older, anxiety goes away. And it doesn't sound right to say I have no anxiety, but there is so little in my life that I do say it because what I used to be anxious about is either gone, doesn't matter anymore. God is there, and so I could be anxious for nothing.
Sounds like you've read the chapter, Jan.
I read the beginning.
Right. So, yeah.
My true sister.
Again, I'll share. I think when I hear gentleness, the thing that's challenging my gentleness right now is one of my daughters, who will go unnamed, leaves her markers out. One of my children that is too young to know the difference on like how a marker works, you can figure out which child that is. He enjoys finding those markers that are left out, and man, we have a lot of designs throughout the house already. On our walls, on beds. And so every time it's like, oh man, how did you leave the markers out again? Because Miles doesn't know the difference. So yeah, I hit the roof on that one pretty quick. So
don't you use those waterproof water wash ones? I mean, the ones you can wash off? Yeah.
It's a challenge, man. We've got a big streak right down our couch that is like, oh man, it's nuts. Yep. And yep, he just loves getting markers.
Oh, so. Well, he sees his sisters doing it. So, you know,
yeah.
He doesn't understand they're only doing it on paper.
So good.
That's the kind of, I'm sorry, I forget to raise my hand. That's the kind of thing that age and your kid's age helps. And your grandchildren do the same thing, but it doesn't bother me as much as it did when I was the mother. And
yeah,
it's easier.
I just want to read through a passage of scripture, then we're going to get to our video for today. Let's see here. The passage comes from John 6, 1 through 13. This is the story about Jesus with the crowd of 5,000, the text says 5,000 men. By the way, that text says 5,000 men besides women and children. So maybe the crowd was like 10,000 people. It was a big crowd. So I want to read it here and then just get some thoughts too about this idea of gentleness and anxiety. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test Philip. Philip's the disciple that keeps the money for the disciples, by the way. He's known as the accountant. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus is just testing Philip here. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the five loaves left over by those who had eaten. All right. As we speak about gentleness and maybe anxiety, what was one thing that stood out to you from that little story there that you've probably heard many, many times before? Did you pick up any thoughts there?
Well, it sounded to me like Jesus was not too concerned. He didn't get all anxious and, oh, how are we going to do this? He just said, just distribute that food. Do it. Just do it. And it worked out.
Okay, so you get a picture of calmness from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see Jesus distressed?
Not often. One time.
I mean, at times, yeah.
When he went in the temple with the moneylenders.
Yeah, okay. He's a pretty calm guy. Yeah. Anybody else? Do you see anything here? Pictures of maybe gentleness, anxiety in this story? Peggy Kruger?
Well, I think he was gentle in that he wanted to take care of the people's physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. And he was aware that, you know, they were hungry. They would need to eat.
Yeah.
So I think that, and that's kind of the way that I'm gentle, is I like to take care of people that way and, you know, feed them.
Yeah. You
know, fix them a meal or something.
All right. Awesome. Just I want to throw out a couple thoughts here that maybe just kind of crazy thoughts I had, but I think they're true to this little passage we've heard so often. Number one is, if you read the other synoptics in Matthew's gospel, actually you see the anxiety of the disciples. They actually direct Jesus, and they say, Jesus, you go get them something to eat. They don't address Jesus like this, Master, could you go ahead and get them something to eat? They direct Jesus. And doesn't that happen when we become anxious and filled with kind of intensity? We start to command people. You know, Claire, don't put the markers over there. You know, the voice is raised. We tend to do that. So that's here in this text. Also, another thing that's interesting, if you saw at the beginning of that reading, you know what's interesting about this is these disciples had already seen Jesus do this. He had healed a leper. He had healed someone from a distance that was dying. He had turned water into wine. He had already healed a paralytic and healed a woman that was sick. He raised a woman that was already dead. And all these disciples had already seen that. So it's interesting that in kind of a tight bind, they still don't understand who it is that is with them in their troubled situation.
Right.
And then finally, I'd just like to throw this out. This is a concept that I just grabbed in just a few months ago. That is this. When you read that passage, they actually had the money. The disciples had the money. The issue is not money. What the disciples want to do is they want to use the plan that they come up with is, hey, we've got resources, we got money, let's just spend it. We can buy it. We can go to the market, go out. Jesus doesn't want them to think about money or their resources. This is a spiritual matter and a spiritual problem that they couldn't understand, that they could just trust Jesus in the moment. So in this parable, notice that, or not parable, but in this episode, notice that not one coin is spent. No money is spent. These disciples had the money. Problem's not money. The problem here is a spiritual problem. So it's a trust issue. So, okay, we're going to jump into our video here and have some discussion. So we'll watch about 12 minutes or so of this, and we'll have some discussion based on what we watch here.